This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. I am Tyrone, and it's good to be back.
New Zealand sticked along without you. It was still here when you got back this morning, was it?
I did. I got back this morning. Something about having a shower in your own shower, isn't it, Barry? I mean, you would have remembered that when you were tripping around in the van.
Definitely is. It is so good to get back and do that, for sure.
And I did a couple of things. I watched the clip on Rory McDowell, the seven-year-old that was in AJ's bridge lessons. Did you happen to catch that on
that
Seven
was on
Sharp?
What, I saw that on Seven Sharp. Good bit of publicity for bridge.
Yeah, I'm happy to say that Rory is registered for the youth weekend down in Christchurch. So this year, the youth weekend is from Friday the 4th of September to Sunday the 6th of September. And I'm hopeful that Al Scott, who is 8, and his brother Barry, who I believe is 13, will come down with us to the youth tournament too. That could even be a match made in heaven, Barry. A 7 and an 8-year-old playing together.
I wonder how the older kids will feel about that. It'll be interesting to see.
And the other bit that I watched, again, it was only like a 3-minute clip, was my granddaughter from Dunedin. She was the ball carrier for when Magic went down to Dunedin to play against the Southern Steel. And Cassidy walked the ball out for the centre pass. So I had two clips to watch when I got that. Pretty cool. Anyway, what's been happening in your world?
The selectors call for expressions of interest for the national coaching program, which is sort of designed to improve New Zealand's results, international teams. They've asked people to put their names down for consideration, and I don't see there's any reason why I can't say sort of the numbers anyway. So in the mixed category, there are 24 pairs. Now, I can't remember having anything like those sort of numbers that I can ever recall in New Zealand, so that's pretty huge. Some of these are sort of double ups. They've got their name down in two things. So there's 24 pairs with their names down for the mixed. There's 6 pairs for the woman. There are 13 pairs for the open. And there are 10 pairs for the seniors. So not bad numbers, but like I say, some of them are doubled up. They might be in the seniors and the open or the women's and the mixed or whatever. So I haven't gone through and worked out all the double up. A lot of people interested in this national coaching program. Now, they seem quite adamant that they don't want to run trials, that they do want to select. I know there's been a bit of talk around the traps that with 24 pairs in the mix, perhaps they should run a trial for that.
Right. So any new names in these expressions of interest?
There are some old names and new partnerships, if you like. Not really. Most of these names have been around for a while.
Barry, what date was that?
This only came out on the weekend.
Oh, okay.
We had to put our names forward a little while ago and we hadn't heard anything, apart from, of course, the rumour mill, which actually was fairly accurate. So that's happening. I'm not quite sure where it will go from here. They're looking at all the data from all these pairs and everything they've played in. Also got something about that. So they're taking it pretty seriously and they're actually looking at pairs' history rather than just picking somebody on probably not too much. I want to be a bit careful here, but, but probably picking them without doing too much homework. It looks like they are going to do their homework.
Okay. I came back, Barry, and I've got lots of emails to get back to, but I'd just like to say that I've actually registered for the Hamilton Swiss pairs, the 3 weeks for Wednesday, and all of the Waikato Bay's restricted open Swiss pairs. They've got this little league going, and I've registered for all of them. And while I was away, I was thinking, as you know, folks, I went over to Vietnam with my friends from the Cairns Bridge Club. They're hosting the Barrier Reef Tournament again next year in 2027. And I flicked an email out to my partner that said, are you interested in going to Cairns next year? I've only just done it, so that would be more. And I looked up my master points and I am 193.35. So I am gaining onto the 200 and then I've got another 58 points to find. Is that right, Barry?
That's right, 250 gets you a life master.
Okay, so Congress is going to play pretty high in my calendar this year, trying to secure as many as I can. But guess what? I got an invite to play with somebody, never played with them before, to join them for the one day teams event that is on the Wednesday.
By the way, it looks like there's about 28 tables that registered for the Hamilton Online Swiss Pairs, which starts on the 17th of June. It's more than last year. So they have got a Congress Open teams on the same day.
They do.
So there's Congress Open teams, Congress Restricted teams, Congress Senior teams, Congress Intermediate teams, and the Congress Junior teams all being held on that date over those two sessions.
Oh, well, that's good. So it must be a little change of format then.
Yeah, I think they have switched things around a bit. The New Zealand Open Teams final will still be being held at that stage. That's obviously going to only involve two teams.
Oh, right. Anyway, did you see the youth posted?
No, I didn't. Where was
Ah,
that?
I should have been on the notice board at the club.
Here's the results from the Spartown teams on the weekend. They
Yep.
were pretty good field of 22 teams. They were pretty happy with that. And the winning team top was the Buckledon team, which was Karen Harris and Marcus Dudley, Hamish Brown and John Buckledon. I don't know whether I'm allowed to mention this, but going into the last round, Marcus came over looking for a ride home with somebody because he was scheduled to be playing against his mother in the last round and he wasn't too sure he was going to get a ride home. That was Andrew Reynolds and Mark Lynch, Tina Dudley and Bruce Inglis. I don't know who was
Oh,
playing with
yeah.
who there,
Okay.
but anyway, they had quite a nice win in the last round to win by nearly six VPs.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Douglas.
Good morning, everybody.
So, with us today, we have Douglas Russell from the North Shore Bridge Club, and he chats with the Bridge Zone about the new beginner lessons and retention of these new bridge players. I didn't realize that you'd played for New Zealand for so many times.
Only for the oldies, the wrinklies.
The Wrinklies,
What's this
huh?
rumour going around that Douglas is a silver grandmaster, Mariana? He's got over 2,000 A points. And the rumour going around is 26 out of 30 of his finesses work.
Woo!
Thank you, Barry.
Or is it 26 out of 30 of something else?
Something else, I think.
So we've got some tips that you could pass on to our listeners and clubs.
First of all, some statistics. New Zealand Bridge, of course, is struggling to maintain its financial viability. And in order to secure that, what it really needs is a steady influx of new members. Almost all new members come to New Zealand Bridge through lessons which are run by clubs. They're not run by New Zealand Bridge themselves. So supporting the clubs is actually very important in all of this. Now, there are two aspects of increasing the membership. The first one is actually recruitment into the lessons. And the second one is retention once they've been through the lessons. So we need to address both of those. Now, again, we did some surveys. I think I mentioned that I was on the teaching committee for a while and I was involved very heavily in redoing all the new material. About 70% from our surveys of new members come through personal recommendation. That is, people who have already members of the club, very typically people who've just been through lessons themselves. So it stands to reason that the better experience we can give learners, the more likely they are to suggest to other people, recommend to other people that they come along. The remainder, actually, people go directly to club websites. They suddenly decide they want to play bridge and they go to club websites. So the clubs are absolutely critical in maintaining the membership. Now, one of the things that I was heavily involved in during my time on the teaching committee was redoing the New Zealand Bridge teaching material. And that material was very well regarded. You might think, why would we do it? A lot of other people use it. It was in the public domain. The question wasn't about the content. The question was about the presentation and that kind of thing. How can we make it a better experience for the learners and so on, right? Another thing that we found when we did all our surveys, that the clubs, of course, they're very variable in size and mode of operation around New Zealand. There are a fair few very large bridge clubs, Auckland, Hamilton, Wellington, Christchurch, etc. But the great majority of clubs are very small. And as it turns out, that most of the people who teach bridge in New Zealand are not greatly experienced players. I found that about 70% of them were junior or intermediate players themselves, and very few of them are experienced teachers either. That's not to say they don't deliver good lessons. They may have the personality that works well for them, and sometimes they do a great job. But as a result of that, our focus was as much on the teachers as on the learners themselves when we were developing our material. What we wanted to do was to ensure that teachers of any level of experience or capabilities could deliver lessons that would work. And that seems to be the thing. So the material was actually put together, and we did a test run, a few clubs test run it during 2025. And it was rolled out fully during 2026. And indeed, many people have now completed the lessons. I've completed our lessons, for example. And the other things I did when I was on the teaching committee was to establish a WhatsApp teachers discussion group, which has been very active. Lots of helpful comments and so on there. And the word is that the new material is very well received. It seems to have done a great job. And while our retention rate was very good, I think that's been true across many other clubs as well. Right.
Just on the retention rate, Douglas, that was the 26 out of 30, wasn't it, that we were talking about?
Pretty close to it.
So that's amazing.
It's generally reckoned that anything above 50% is a good turnout, right? And I think the Auckland Club, I know, also gets very good retention rates. And it's partly down to the personalities of the teachers, of course, and the teaching team and all that kind of thing. But I think the way we've redone the material has helped as well. One of the big changes we made was to ensure that learners can actually get doing as early as possible in the piece. Now, if you think about how you might teach bridge, you would teach a bit about bidding, then you would teach a bit about play, then they would start bidding and playing hands. And it takes quite a long time to get to that stage, if you think about it. So what we did is we expanded the first lesson. There used to be one lesson, but now we have two lessons on what we call mini bridge. Are you familiar with mini bridge, the way mini bridge works?
Yep.
There's no bidding. All they do is count their points, and then they look at their hand on the dummy and decide where they've got to fit, and then they play the hand. By doing that, they can actually get cards in their hands and playing a contract within 5 minutes of starting. And that is what we really need to do to keep them engaged. And that seems to have worked very well. So at the end of their first lesson, they've already not bid, but already played about 4 to 6 hands, depending on how quickly they get through. And that's turned out to be a good thing. Many professional teachers reckon that you should teach playing before you teach bidding. And the reason for that is many people who come along to bridge have already played some kind of trick-taking game like 500 or X, for example. And so the playing is a bit more familiar. What is unfamiliar, of course, is the bidding. That's what's new in bridge for new learners. So we bypass that to get them playing as quickly as possible. And we don't actually start bidding until lesson 3 in the series. Okay, now the final thing I say, that's about recruitment and getting them in. Retention. Yeah, well, that's the tricky one, of course. You've got to try and make sure that as many people who complete the lessons actually continue on. And clubs are very variable in their size. They're very variable in the resources they can provide. Some clubs, for example, have many bigger clubs have their own premises. They have a lot of experienced and engaging people to call on. But there are other clubs that, you know, rent a church hall once a week and are really not very well placed in order to be able to mount a sort of programme. What we do at North Shore, and I think a number of other clubs do this as well, is after they've completed their 12 beginners lessons, we have what we call supervised play sessions. That is, the learners come along and they play random hands. They're no longer pre-dealt hands. We do this for about 8 weeks. And they have a number of people going around advising on what they should be doing at various stages. And that seems to work as well. And that, if you like, is a sort of intermediate stage between actually going to lessons and coming into real club sessions. And then after the 8 weeks, we start our series of improvers lessons. So again, not every club has the resources to run the improvers lessons, but we do as well. I think we'll get quite a lot of feedback from the new material within the next week or a few weeks or so. But I think the general impression I get, it's been very positively received.
Join us next week as we continue to talk with Douglas Russell about bringing new members into our clubs. Whaiakino. Coming up next, it's time for the Gin Club. That's juniors, intermediates and novice. And our man on the spot, Mr. Gin himself, it's Ross Longney.
Hey, Mr. Gin, I can see the shape you're in. Finger on your eyebrow.
Great to see you, Ross.
Nice to see you back home, Mariana, Edinburgh.
Now, I know Barry was meant to play with you on the weekend, but he couldn't.
Oh, God, here we go.
He had that sad excuse of having to work. So tell us all, who did you manage to pick up and how did you go?
Well, I was at the Auckland or Remuera Club on Friday having a couple of sessions there, and I was talking to a friend of Barry's, and I said, Barry's dumped me for Sunday, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do. And he put his hand up. He said, well, I'll play with you, Ross. Now, you know, I've always been rabbiting on about you go to these really good players and you ask them if they'll play with you.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Mostly they'll say yes. Well, this time, this very, very good friend of Barry's helped him out and offered to play with me. So I turned up at Papatoetoe on Sunday morning with Patrick Carter in tow.
The bailiff. Go the bridge zone.
That's right. We worked out a simple system, one that I could hopefully remember all of, and we had a really, really nice tournament. I picked up a few B points. We weren't on the podium, and we had an average session, and then I would consider a very good session in the afternoon, thanks to Patrick's skill and perseverance. I hope that he enjoyed it. I certainly did. He gave me quite a bit of advice on what I could do to improve my game and bidding and play. And so it was a very valuable experience and, I must say, a most enjoyable one.
Awesome.
Pretty close, Ross. I'm just looking. You're only 3% behind the winners. It was all a bit condensed at top five. You finished fifth, but on 114.8. And the winners, Chris Wilson and Sam McNay, who I understand are from the Northern Club, on 117.98. So not much in it.
No, she's pretty close. There were some really good open players there. I've talked to you about Chris Wilson and Sam McNay before because they've won other tournaments. They won Franklin and they won, I think, might have been Orewa a few months ago. Excellent partnership in that restricted circuit. They're developing a very good partnership, a very settled partnership, average 60% or so. I was actually talking to Chris afterwards, and he has become quite a devotee of the Bridge Zone because I have been rabbiting on about it. He's hooked into it. Every time he goes out to walk his dog, he goes back one episode. He said, I'm even gone back way before you were on the show, Ross, and I'm listening to Mariana and Barry and all the discussions I've had. He said, I've gone back a long way. That was a very positive reaction I got from him. And I also got one from Wollongong. Remember I mentioned yep. Ivan Young from Wollongong, and I hope you're listening, Ivan. He's actually encouraging his club mates at the Wollongong Bridge Club to listen to the Bridge Zone over there in Australia.
Hey, hi to Wollongong.
So we're growing.
I don't know whether I can even spell Wollongong, Ross, but I haven't been there. But if anybody's listening, send us an email in from Wollongong, will you? Bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com.
I actually met a bridge player from Wollongong. We were at Hoi An, staying at Victoria Resort. A group of us, and we all just went in for lunch. And this chap comes over and he says, what sort of group are you guys? And I said, oh, we play bridge. He says, I play bridge. I said, oh, whereabouts? And he said, Wollongong. I'm sorry, Ivan, but I didn't get his name. There you go.
Quite a nice connection, isn't it?
It is. So So what's been happening in the gin club world?
Well, at the Papatoetoe Restricted, the top intermediate pair was Gadi and Ilona Bentall from Papatoetoe, and the top junior pair were also locals, Janet Hurst and Steve Webster. So they had a really good turnout from their own members, and that tournament was closed quite a few days or even weeks before it began. On the Saturday, Palmerston North had a restricted tournament. That was won by Alex Mayer from East Coast Bays and Jack James from Palmerston North. They had in their first session somewhere around 75%. Superb result. Jan Hawkins and Sally Croy from New Plymouth, and Sally's from Christchurch, so they'd both come a long way to be the top intermediate at that tournament. Spartown Restricted was on Sunday, but I wonder if you've mentioned the fact that Irene Stewart and Don McPherson from Cambridge won the restricted Swiss pairs, and they were in the front all day. They won every match that they played, and both of them are gin club members. So that was a wonderful result from two intermediate players down there.
Yeah, Irene would be over the moon with that. She certainly loves her bridge.
I text her and she came back with so many emojis that I'd never even seen about how excited and thrilled she was to have won that. So big ups to Irene and Don. The only other result I have, and I want to mention it because it was a junior tournament down at Karori, was won by Lisbeth and Phil Gavey from Waikanae, and second were Peter Roscoe and Laurie Diane Fernando from Kapimana.
Okay.
I've got a little question for you, and it sort of bugs me a little bit, but somebody else mentioned it, so I'll bring it up with you. When dummy goes down, what is the correct order for the suits to go down when it's no trumps and when it's a suited contract, left to right?
I asked this question just last week at the club, and I know the answer. I knew the answer then, but I've had it confirmed by the powers that be, and you can guess whose that was.
The bailiff gives his ruling on this question. Catch up with us next week. The gin man leads you out with the gin club motto.
Observa omne neminem time. Respect all, fear none. Have a good week. Light it and
send it out. Send it out now. We're at the courthouse next. To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. Good morning, Patrick. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Mariana.
Barry's got this extremely hard question for you this week. We're going to be testing your knowledge.
This is vitally important. It's sort of like whether the Hormuz Strait is going to be open or not. This is right up there with it. I had somebody last week just asking me that when Declara is about to play a hand in no trumps, what order should the suits go down in dummy? Should they be in rank order? And in fact, the question I got was, can the defenders request that the dummy go down in a certain order?
Well, there's nothing in the laws that suggests that the defenders can request the order of the suits in dummy. So that's not a thing. And the laws only say that they're put down in rank order down the table. And the laws do specify that if your suits, you know, like ace, queen, 7-3, that it goes down ace, queen, 7-3. Not 7-3 queen ace or something or other, because that obviously looks so much better. But which suit is on the left and which suit is on the right is the only time that's a thing is when it's trumps. Trumps go down on the side of the table we're all familiar with. Dummy's right or declarer's left, whichever way you like to look at it. But in no trumps, it can be whichever way around. I hadn't really thought about this much at all. It doesn't seem like a big deal to me. But funny enough, about 2 months ago, I had someone, a director, who emailed me and asked a question because someone was upset about this particular issue. And it really makes no difference. The question I had involved, was it fair to put them in a particular way so that partner wouldn't forget they were in no trumps and think they were playing in a suit? So I can see some advantage if you're a dummy putting down a short suit on the side where trumps normally go. So if you've got six spades and you've got a partner who isn't very clever, then putting those spades down where trumps normally go is sort of like asking for trouble. And, you know, your partner forgetting they're playing three no trumps and suddenly thinking they're playing in four spades.
Yeah.
You're allowed to do that. It doesn't say that you put them down spades, hearts, diamonds, and then clubs. In fact, I don't think many people at all can do that, because most of the dummies I see, they're red, black, or black, red, black, red, depending on which way you look at it. So I don't think that putting them down in no trumps, I think I'd notice if it was always the red suits in the middle. And I don't think hardly anybody can be putting them in the exact order of suits. They don't have to be red, black either. It can be whichever order of the suits you like. Most people seem to put them down so that you actually space out the red suits and the black suits. And that's the way most people sort their hand, is red, black, although different people do that different ways. No issue with this at all.
I fessed up on the bridge zone once that I'm an untidy dummy. I've never had a director come along and tell me that I need to tidy it up yet. Now I've told Patrick, maybe this will happen.
Well, I mean, the laws don't talk about tidiness either. I guess a director might make a judgment call on that one if someone called him and got upset about it, Barry. But they couldn't quote a law. They could only say what they think is reasonable.
I do have a bonus question for you.
Yeah.
So I was playing at the table and the opponents secured the contract. My partner put his card down on the table to lead and said, no questions. And then the dummy piped up and said, I've got a question. We both sort of looked at him, and then his partner says, I don't think you can ask. The bailiff gives his ruling for this question next week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's really awesome, yeah.
Here's a tip for you, Ross.
You got to do it the whole of.
I have one partner who asks me, if she's in no trumps, never put down a suit that she's bid on the right when she's in no trump. I mean, if partner asks, that's what I do. You know what it's like? You bid hearts and hearts go down and dummy, and all of a sudden you start playing in hearts when you're actually meant to be in no trumps. This week, put them down however the hell you like, but don't put down on the right a suit that partner's bid.
That's actually not a bad tip.
Well, that's about it for us this week, folks. Take care, and we'll see you at the table.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.